Bridges are part of an area's character. Think of such iconic spans as New York's Brooklyn Bridge, London's Tower Bridge, and San Francisco's Golden Gate. You couldn't imagine those cities without those bridges. Likewise, the bridges of New Hanover County might be lesser known, but that doesn't mean they're any less important to our area or that locals love them any less. Just to name three. For more than 50 years, the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge has simultaneously welcomed visitors to Wilmington while serving as an iconic symbol of the port city. Since the late 50s, people have been getting stuck on one side of the Riceville Beach drawbridge or the other. And for more than 100 years, the Harry Forden Bridge has stood on 6th Street downtown. In recent years, it's become a picturesque location for everything from band photos to the show One Tree Hill. This is Cape Fear Unearthed, the podcast exploring the legends, historical oddities, and landmark stories of southeastern North Carolina. I'm your host, John Staten, and I'm a reporter with the Star News here in Wilmington. We're a Gannett paper that's part of the USA Today network. This week, we'll take a look at some of the bridges I just mentioned, as well as many other bridges from around New Hanover County. We'll talk about some bridges that have been around for decades, and even a few that no longer exist. We'll also discuss how the bridges of New Hanover County have shaped southeastern North Carolina, and how they might continue to do so in the future. My guest today is Joe Shepherd, who runs the North Carolina Room at the main branch of the New Hanover County Public Library in downtown Wilmington. Joe knows a ton about the history of the Wilmington area, and that includes both the bridges that exist and the bridges that, in some locations, preceded them. Okay, so I'm sitting here with Joe Shepherd in the New Hanover County Public Library's main branch downtown. Joe, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, John. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I know you're on Cape Fear Unearthed at least once or twice back when Hunter was doing
times,
it.
So, yeah.
Well, now you're back with me. So, first let's talk about, give a little plug to the North Carolina Room and tell us a little bit about what you do here.
Well, right now I am the sole full-time staff member for the North Carolina Room at the New Hanover County Public Library, only because the position for our librarian has been vacated, and hopefully that'll be filled soon. So right now I am the sole guy. The Special Collections here holds a state and local history collection of books, maps, newspapers, and various other types of materials to help you piece together a history about people, places, events, anything to do with, say, Wilmington, New Hanover, our coastal communities, Low Counties area, and of course, Lower Cape Fear.
And it's a great resource. If you've never been up here, I've been up here doing research about everything from old drive-in movie theaters over the years. My colleague Ben Steelman has been up here many times over the years, and Hunter as well, when he was working at the Star News. Yes. So it's just a great resource. And so, Joe, thanks again for sitting in with us. And I know your knowledge of this area is very broad, but today we're going to get a little more specific and talk about the different bridges that have been in New Hanover County over the years. As we were talking about before we went on, started recording, bridges are just such an integral part of a place's identity, right? You talk about the Brooklyn Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Wilmington's the same. Not as famous, but, to the people here, they're very important and they mean quite a lot. So let's go back, take it way back to the old days, and I think you mentioned Heron's Bridge as one of the earliest known bridges that we would really identify.
First, say recorded type of bridges. Prior Heron's Bridge, which is mid 18th century, 1760s, 1770s, there would have been, say, plank bridges or things built up from a swamp using stone, what they could find, ballast stone primarily because there's no natural stone. Logs that would be embedded into the swamp and used to elevate so they could cross there, particularly low-lying spots in the river. There also was a great ferry system at one point up and down the rivers. And you read about these ferrymen who would charge people a small nominal fee to be able to transport them across the river at low places. And there were special rules and governing laws for these ferry systems. And they're very complicated, but mostly they're just, let the buyer beware, gutting your customers, and, you can't take them halfway across and say, now you got to owe me 20 more shillings.
right.
So those types of laws were in effect for the ferry system.
That's interesting.
Following those ferry system, then we started getting these smaller, low bridges that were built using either planks or flotation devices or things what they had. most of these bridges, up until what we now know as the Herons Bridge, were temporary.
Right.
They would last for maybe a few years, get washed away by, you know, a hurricane or, sure, you know, something of that nature. So there's very little record of these early type of plank bridges. Particularly for Wilmington, there were a lot of foot bridges that were placed into effect. So our idea of what we consider a bridge,
right,
really wasn't in effect in this area until this late mid-18th century period with Herons Bridge.
Yeah.
Herons Bridge was a bridge that was...
Okay, now where was that exactly?
Tell about where the Isabel Holmes Bridge area is located now. We don't know the exact spot,
right, sure,
but most likely somewhere close to that area, because that's a natural location for a bridge to be placed.
Yeah.
And it was the natural location for what's now the Isabel Holmes, yeah, and what that replaced at one point.
Well, now, why is that? Tell me why that makes a good location for a bridge.
The water is shallow there. The expanse is a little bit more narrow, so you can get from one side to the other. And also, that side of the river hasn't been dredged or wasn't dredged up to a certain point. So you could get across it, particularly in summer months, it would be a lot shallower.
Okay.
With the bridges being built, you could use the technology of that time,
yeah,
which was, you know, quite,
right,
you know, ancient to what we understand.
Right.
Unfortunately, we had lost the technology or the knowledge that the Romans had 2,000 years ago to build expansive bridges.
Yeah.
And that kind of information really didn't come into use until the 20th century again.
That's really interesting.
So with these bridges, they would be very low. They would be built from primarily wood, mm-hmm, sunken timbers to elevate them. And then they would be repaired as time went on.
Okay.
Repair being caused by natural decay, by floods, by, again, hurricanes, which seems to be a major factor,
yeah,
for
right,
a lot of,
sure,
things,
yeah,
or fire.
Yeah.
And there are accounts where bridges could catch on fire, because you got to think about,
yeah,
everything and everybody crossing these bridges.
Oh, my gosh.
Barrels full of tar and pitch being spilled and animal waste and all kinds,
yeah,
of stuff that was just left there. You know, yeah, they didn't have a cleanup.
Right.
There was nobody coming, right, along from the Department of Transportation to sweep the stuff up and spread,
right,
ash, you,
right,
know, whatever.
They're waiting for a good heavy rain.
Well, yeah, exactly. So Herons Bridge is probably the first one we can think of about the location where,
okay,
the Isabel Holmes area is at. And that bridge was with us until the British occupation of Wilmington,
yeah,
and with that, the bridge was probably destroyed by the British forces as,
okay,
they evacuated. There's several stories that it was lost to different things. It's probably a combination of all these types of things.
Yeah.
Usually the history of Wilmington, when we talk about the loss of a particular structure or a large, you know, area, natural something, it's a several causes,
yeah,
not just one. But the easy thing to blame, of course, are the British occupation.
Right, right. So let's jump ahead to maybe the 1800s.
Sure.
You said this, so Herons Bridge was, you know, destroyed in the...
But it was replaced.
Okay, so it was replaced.
Yes,
okay.
And then eventually, yeah, bridges, as we know, came,
yeah,
to be about in that location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then let's jump ahead to... Because this is a bridge I did not know much about until recently. It was called, yeah, the Northeast Cape Fear River Bridge.
Yes.
It was,
yes,
and in, was that in around the location where the Isabel Holmes is?
Primarily
now?
The same,
yeah,
exact,
yeah,
site, yes.
Yeah.
And a
and
lot
that,
of the bridge that we have now was built, yeah, on the foundations of that original bridge. Now, it's certainly, the older bridge was a lower bridge.
Right, right.
The bridge we have now is much elevated.
Yeah. And that, and so that was built in 1929.
Right.
And that was kind of, you know...
Considered the first,
yeah,
modern bridge, if you want to say. That's,
yeah,
as, again, as we understand bridges.
Yeah.
Using steel, cement, etc.
Right. And then, as we were talking before, I think the oldest existing bridge in the Wilmington area right now would be, I think it's called the Harry Forden Bridge on 6th Street.
That's safe to assume.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and that dates back to 1911.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me a little bit about the materials that were used in that bridge, because you had a good story about that.
Being a steel bridge,
yeah,
it was the leading material at,
yeah,
that time period.
Yeah.
Steel in the early 20th century was a very cheap commodity to purchase and use. There was a lot of it.
Yeah.
And steel industry was booming, in particularly the United States. So,
yeah,
yes, you could get steel. It was also believed that steel was stronger than any other type of resource material to build a bridge.
Yeah.
So they wanted something that was permanent, that couldn't be damaged again by floods or hurricanes or Godzilla.
Yeah.
And with this particular bridge, it remained. It is still with us today.
Yeah.
Now, we do have things that it needs repair with bridges like that. As we know, rust, decay, all that happened with steel.
Yeah.
So that bridge, of course, being an expanse bridge, and it had a tier system, there's a more technical term for it, but you can see that it's certainly one of those kind of bridges with a support system that we no longer find in modern bridges.
Yeah, and so what's interesting to me about that bridge is I've kind of first, because, you know, I was in a neighborhood that at a certain time wasn't particularly well-traveled, even now it's not that well-traveled.
I
first came across it, I guess I was working at Encore in the 1990s, and, like, you know, local bands would go there and have their picture taken on that bridge because it looks so cool, right?
Yes.
And it looks so different from anything else in town. And then it became, obviously, when they shot One Tree Hill here, that was used in a lot of episodes of One Tree Hill, and that became very iconic, and you can go and even see today, people have gone and written their names on it and all that type of thing.
If we were to drive around the countryside, you would still come across bridges of that style still being used out in the country in different places.
Yeah, and this is just off the top of my head, but I mean, I wonder why that. I mean, I guess it has lasted a long time. I mean,
I'm
for it to be, you know, here over 100 years now. You know, and that's the oldest, you know, existing bridge that we know of in the Wilmington area. And so there's a bunch of, there's one actually nearby that is, I guess the Snow, I'm sorry, not the,
the Fifth.
The Smith Creek Bridge.
Over
on Castlehaine Road.
Yes.
And that was actually used to be, apparently, that used to be like a swing bridge.
Yes, it was.
At some point, it's not, I guess it's being repaired now, and it's not open for traffic at the moment. But
it's one of those that has severe maintenance. And of course, it's low.
Very
and it
old,
gets water damage, and it floods over, and it just suffers because of its location being there closer to the water, and that's what happens to these bridges. If there's maintenance is low, then they get lost.
Yeah, and just to talk about, I mean, how bridges kind of affect, you know, on the wider town. You know, I feel like Wilmington used to be a lot more centered on that area, right? Now, it's kind of Castlehaine Road is almost cut off from the rest of the town in a lot of ways because of the parkway and other reasons, but also there's no really bridges over there. If you're over the bridge, you're going to Isabel Holmes or the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, which is obviously the most best known bridge in our area. I mean, you see the, you know, the you know, the iconography of it on different you know, posters and everything.
Yes.
And that bridge, I mean, that was built, I guess they started building it in 67 and finished in 69. That had to have been a huge deal.
The hugeness of it, because it united the Memorial Bridge united Wilmington with the rest of the southern counties, those being Brunswick and Columbus and Myrtle Beach and places like that. Beforehand, it was you know, a barrier to be able to get back and forth unless you went up river and crossed. So with the advent of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, which is anniversary is coming up here on the 20th, the 52nd year, it created a huge difference for this community. It allowed more visitors, it allowed more traffic, and it definitely was an impact for our community. It still does.
Yeah. This is something, this may be a subject for another podcast, but just, you know, there's all the talk about, you know, what's going to replace that bridge? And someday, you know, it's going to get old enough to where you'll have to replace it.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I mean, 50 years, that's pretty long for a...
That's a long time.
I mean, for a bridge of that type.
It's been under repair and changes for the last 30 years consistently. So, and you often, it has to be closed because something has to be repaired.
Right.
And sometimes we don't all know that until we're sitting there on 3rd Street waiting to get across. And we're like, why is the traffic? I don't see a boat going up the river. Why is it blocked?
And that's just, really shows you right there how important these bridges are in our lives, right?
Yes.
Because when they're not open, it's a huge inconvenience for, you know, thousands and thousands of people. You have to go drive around to the other bridge, which is the Isabel Holmes. Now, tell me a little bit about the Isabel Holmes why it was named for Isabel Holmes.
Well,
she was a former Department of Transportation.
Isabel Stellings Holmes was her name. Mrs. Holmes was the first woman to be appointed to the North Carolina Department of Transportation. The senior staff, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
She was the first to work for the department, but first to be appointed to the senior staff. And she made decisions, not just for Wilmington, but for the state of North Carolina. She was a local person. She grew up here. She was from Wilmington. And when the bridge came to be, she was the obvious choice for its name to be given.
Yeah, and so that was built in, I believe, 79 is when that was completed. Yes. Yeah, so that's interesting to think. So all throughout most of the 70s, there was really only one bridge in and out of Wilmington for the most part.
And that was it. Yeah. And the impact of a second bridge made a huge difference as well. I don't feel, though, that the north side area really, I mean, you can see the growth from the north side, but a lot of it is contributed because of what's now the Isabel Holmes Bridge, making that open area, making it more accessible. Yeah. And now that we have openings, when you come down to go across that bridge, the Holmes Bridge, to go to southern parts of the counties or out into the county area, Brunswick, etc., it's definitely made a huge impact for those people and for travel in this area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's now we have the newer bridge up a little further up the river. If you're going to go on I-40.
Yes.
Or on 140.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, let's get out of Wilmington for a minute and go out to the beach. I was just telling you earlier, I'm sure I wouldn't want to know how many hours I've spent waiting for the Wrightsville Beach drawbridge to open.
We all have.
Close. My dad lives out there, so you know, it seems like I usually try to time it to where I'm not, you know, hitting it at 4 or 4:30 or whatever, but it doesn't always work.
No, that's why I moved downtown. I used to live at Wrightsville Beach, and yes, the number of times you get stuck waiting makes your decision to move very, very easily. So I did. I moved downtown. But I know what it was like to sit there and wait.
Yeah.
And then if you are not the first car to get across the bridge when it comes down, you're sunk.
Right.
But back in those days, it was a two-lane highway on Eastwood to get.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Well, and it's interesting because I would not have guessed that bridge had been there as long as it has. It's been there since the late 1950s.
Yes. Yes. It's an old bridge. And it replaced an earlier bridge that had also been placed there.
Yeah.
That bridge was built primarily, this was the 19-teens, et cetera, that replaced an earlier plank bridge that was built in the 1890s into the early 20th century, repaired and changed over time, primarily for the trolley system. And the trolley would be a transportation that you could only take out to Wrightsville Beach or to those Harbor Island. What happened then in the early 20th century, then a bridge was built to not only allow the trolley, but to allow motor cars.
Yep, okay.
And that essentially is what helped kill the trolley system, because why get on the trolley when now you can drive to the beach your own?
Yeah, get a ride with someone who does have a car.
Exactly.
And, and all those bridges, as far as you know, that's been about the same approximate
location.
That is interesting.
Exact location, yes.
Well, then as we cross over into Wrightsville Beach, there's more bridges. You know, you get on over on Harbor Island, then you got to get over onto the actual beach strand.
Right.
You've got those two bridges over there crossing Harbor Island, but they didn't always used to, I guess they were a little different back in the day.
Certainly. Yeah, certainly. They wouldn't have been the four lanes that they are now, and they wouldn't have been concrete as much as we know them. Those early bridges would have been swing bridges.
Yep.
All swing bridges were built, of course, because they would be one lane, and then you would have to sit and wait for your turn to go across the swing. But as Wrightsville Beach grew into a more popular destiny for tourism, you needed more accommodation. And so these four-lane bridges were built. The earliest bridge would, of course, have been the South Side Bridge, and then eventually the North Side Bridge that takes you to Johnny Mercer Pier.
Yeah. And, well, speaking of swing bridges, where Snow's Cut Bridge now is going to Carolina Beach. There used to be an old swing bridge there back in the day.
Of course,
I think
there
it was built in, they said it was, the one I'm talking about was built in 1931.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Snow's Cut Bridge eventually replaced in 62, but you can kind of see the remnants of it down there.
As you
cross over into Carolina Beach, you can see where the bridge used to be. It was a little...
And now you can walk up and look at those remains from Carolina Beach State Park. And they have a trail that's just been put in the last year or so. That way you can walk up and actually look at those.
Oh, okay.
It's funny.
I've been on that part of the trail yet.
It's a great place. And it's funny, when I walk up through there, I run across people all the time asking me, I don't know how this happens, but I have this history aura, and they ask me, what were these pilings here? And then I tell them.
They asked the right guy.
Yeah, so my eyes happen to be there as they're asking. So it's a funny thing with remains of some of those structures, that one is the most evident.
Yeah, and so that was replaced by the Snowscott Bridge in 62, and that was really, as we were talking about before, that was really kind of the first modern beach bridge in southeastern North Carolina.
Yes,
you see, later on you'll see it down at Holden Beach.
Yes.
And
the fact that it was an elevated bridge that took you up over, so you have a view, which was one thing they really wanted at Carolina Beach, and of course at Riceville Beach and other places. They want you to get up high and be able to see. It also meant the bridge could survive flooding and hurricanes and other types of natural disasters. I think I said Godzilla earlier.
But, so, I mean, that was going on 60 years, so I think that you have to say they did a pretty good job with that one. Mm-hmm. So coming back downtown, we have several new bridges downtown. There's the one that, crossing... the one that's on 3rd Street, kind of near the Wilson Center, that was recently, it lights up all in different colors at night now.
Brings you to
really
the north
nice.
Side area, right?
Yeah. And then right near that is the 5th Street, the 5th Avenue Bridge.
Yes.
I think it's called the Thelma Bull. And that was just built probably less than 10 years ago.
Very short time. And if we want to talk about controversial type of bridges, that was an extremely controversial bridge. If you speak to anybody from the North Side neighborhoods prior to that, they would tell you that bridge was deliberately left undone because of maybe segregation. Maybe they wanted, there was some kind of under thing to prevent the North Side neighborhood residents being able to cross into the Fifth Avenue area.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of conspiracies related to that. Of course, who can say, I've read the stories, you read the stories, it's in the newspapers if you want to go back and do that. But
it's never got built until about 2013 or so.
You kind of question, why was the delay? And a lot of times it can come down to, I believe, funding. And, we went into an economic depression after the 1960s was a great time for building because we're coming out of the 1950s. People are still high from the Second World War with construction. We were a nation that was not destroyed from the Second World War, so we had our infrastructure still intact. So there was money to be able to build these structures, and they did in the 1960s. Recession comes around, 1970s, we all know what that was like. And so, some of us do. But any case, with that, then construction came to a change and a halt. And we went through many, many economic ups and downs following through the 1970s, 1980s. I mean, every decade has its particular economic downfall. Yeah. So when you talk about that bridge being done, I think it's, again, a combination of a lot of things. It's a combination of politics, it's a combination of funding, and then, of course, there's always the question, the need for things like that. Do we really need a Fifth Avenue bridge? Because they can always go up to the other, they can go down and around.
Right, right.
But with the opening of the Fifth Avenue bridge, that brought a whole new group of people of arts and crafts and all who...
It kind of united the two sides of downtown.
Exactly.
You got the north side over there, then you have the more kind of historic, not historic, but on a traditional downtown.
Yes.
Other side.
Yeah, going across that bridge was, for me, it was a part of town I never saw or went to. Because prior to that, you would drive around the north side area. The roads didn't take you there.
Yeah.
And so it was real exciting to say, I can walk over to the north side now and go to all these art districts and things that were opening up at that time, 10 years or so ago.
There you go. Well, and then even more recent than that is the bridge in Lovegrove, right? Because that...
Yes.
Neighborhood was really cut off
from
the rest
secluded.
Of Wilmington for a long time.
Extremely secluded.
And so that's just been in the last couple of years that bridge has been built to have another way in and out of Lovegrove.
Which is good for those people.
Absolutely. And that I think
extremely
we're kind of
helpful.
Still waiting to kind of see what's going to happen over there. I mean, there's so many that, we don't have unlimited time, unfortunately. there's so many more that we could talk about. There's railroad bridges. I mean, there's like there's the railroad drawbridge down there that, obviously a lot of maybe people don't know about because they're not, a railroad conductor.
Or past the train area, the passengers.
But it's, but I guess if anything, you know, we're maybe in like a golden age of bridges right now. There's probably more bridges in New Hanover County than there probably ever have been before.
We do have numerous bridges, and there is always a possibility of a new bridge that's been talked about in the newspaper and et cetera for the more south side area to cross over to Brunswick. The problem that we're suffering now is that our infrastructure for these bridges, of course, is getting old.
Yep.
And some structures that were built in the 1960s, et cetera, are still with us. But I have noticed myself the repair time on them gets smaller and smaller and closer together. It used to be you could go 5 or 10 years without seeing the bridge, the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge particularly. Yeah. Now I see it every year. There's something being done or added to upgrade it to get it to our, where we need. So, yes, we do have quite a bit, but it also sees the difference with New Hanover is a much more wealthier county than other places in North Carolina.
Right.
And living here, if we just drive across the bridge to out into the countryside, you can see some of the, as I mentioned earlier, some of those old steel bridges that were public works projects or things like that from the 1930s. They're still there.
Yeah.
And they're still, you know, they're so much fun because you think you see the rust on them and you can see all the graffiti that's been put on there for the last, you know, 4 decades or more. So it's, I don't know. We'll see what's going on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the future. Well, Joe, thank you so much taking time to talk with us in Cape Fear Unearthed, and we'll have you back on soon.
Anytime.
And that's it for this episode of Cape Fear Unearthed and our look at the bridges of New Hanover County. We'll be back soon with another chapter of Wilmington history. Till then, make sure you're a member of our Facebook group, where listeners can ask questions about our episodes and share their own memories of the region's history. In that group, I post extra content from each episode and links to all my coverage of local history for the Star News. You can find that group by searching Cape Fear Unearthed on Facebook. Don't forget to sign up for the Cape Fear Unearthed newsletter that goes out every Thursday. Sign up at starnewsonline.com/newsletters. Cape Fear Unearthed was written, edited, and hosted by yours truly, John Staton. You can find more of my work at starnewsonline.com. Additional editing by Adam Fish. This podcast was made possible by listeners and readers like you. Support local journalism and Cape Fear Unearthed by subscribing to the Star News today at starnewsonline.com/subscribe. And while you're subscribing to things, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream this show so you'll never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review, which will help more people find Cape Fear Unearthed. Till then, get out and explore the Cape Fear region on your own. You never know what you might unearth.